and gold is still beating the big indices. And how is that even possible if other than the yield that you were getting from dollars is entirely fake? Because if you just take gold and you get a dirty man safe, you bury it somewhere on your property and you just hold it there, you're getting the yield of the natural effect of goods and services always falling in terms of gold in the long term. That is the natural yield. If you want to take some risk, extra risk, and lend it out, you might be able to get a few extra percent, sure, and probably in a very safe way. But the thing is, when you hold dollars, you have to have a yield because you're fighting the inflationary wave that's bringing the value down, which doesn't happen with gold. So which one do you want to do? Hey guys, Raf here from the Endgame Investor, and I got Phil on the line for another edition of the Bitter Endgame Draft. Check out Phil's channel at the Bitter Draft on Rumble. There will be a link either in the description or a pinned comment by me. And then you can go there and check it out. His latest episode, your latest episode was, I just watched it this morning. I forgot what it was. Oh, it was fractional reserve schemes in the gold and silver community. Watch out, that kind of thing, which
Yes,
we're
is that
talking
right?
about here. I think so, hopefully. So what we wanted to go into today, and by the way, I'm still alive, I'm still here. Iran hasn't bombed us yet, which is, a good thing, and hopefully they won't, and they'll be scared by something. But yeah, nothing yet. It's pretty tense but calm. So Phil, you wanted to start out with Kyle Rittenhouse. I'm only vaguely aware of what happened. Something about Ron Paul. Did he just discover Ron Paul, or is he a Ron Paul guy from 2012? He'd be like 15 or 16 back then, or even younger,
No,
10.
he'd be a child, yeah. No, I think he just discovered Ron Paul.
He
He
just okay. Oh, I know what that
yeah,
means.
he just discovered Ron Paul and said, "I love Ron Paul. I'm not voting for Trump, I'm voting for Ron Paul." And like that, the hammer of MAGA just descended upon him with a ruthless ferocity. And I was just, you know, I
MAGA
was
is a cult, so
yeah.
not that they're all bad. There's some good stuff about them, but they are a religious cult. They act like that. It's like Bitcoin crowds. They all come in like hordes.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, you know, I discovered Ron Paul about the same time you discovered. Now, I didn't discover him as fervently as you did, but I was like, hey, I really like this guy, you know. I mean, but then he didn't, you know, he didn't win anything, and I was like, just kind of went to the back of my mind. But I'm like, I feel like every 20-year-old male discovers Ron Paul at some point. It's like, you know, discovering girls.
And it's and you feel it, and it feels like a bag of sand.
You discover Ron Paul, you're like, hey, the world would be better if we lived like this. And so,
It's the political equivalent of discovering a really hot girl who you think you could actually hang out with and enjoy her company.
yeah, exactly. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why are you jumping down this guy's throat? Now, I will say that I will, if I looked at his timeline and it was like Trump, MAGA, Trump, MAGA, MAGA, Trump, Ron Paul. Trump, I can see why people are like, what the hell? Like, why, you know, what the sudden switch? Because there was no build up to that. It's just suddenly like, hey, you know what? I like Ron Paul better. But I'm also like, we are in a free country. Like, you can vote for whoever you want. If your heart calls you to vote for 93-year-old Ron Paul because you think it'll be a better job, that's fine. And look, I want to say to the world, I think Ron Paul will be a better president than Donald Trump. I'll say that right now. You know, don't let the heavens descend upon me now. I'm sure the hate mobs, but I do think he would be a better president. I mean, he's very, very old at this point, but Ron Paul's ideals are better for the world. So I guess the question is, do you sacrifice the purity for, you know, really it's a binary choice. You can vote for Kamala or Trump. And really, when it really comes down to it, it's a binary choice for people in about six counties in America to decide who the president are. You know, like, I'm not going to decide who the president is. You know, most people are not. There's like six counties in America. Those votes matter. Nobody else's really does because, you know, it's all weighted. You know, so vote for who you want. It's this is this this
Yeah,
was silly.
really, I don't think it matters. I think I can't say I understand where MAGA is coming from, but I guess in my head, where they are coming from is that Kamala Harris is so terrifying and evil, and I see where they're coming from when they think that. that if Trump is not president, the entire country will self-destruct and we will all die in a pandemonium. Mad Max,
Oh,
Thunderdome.
Mad Max.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mad Max. Yeah.
They think that's gonna, and they think that electing Trump is so important right now that if you're gonna waste your vote on a Ron Paul write-in, which is really, it's not going to accomplish anything practical, which that's true, it's not, then you're abandoning the country in its time of utmost need. So my response to that is there's two. First of all, as I said to you a day or two, maybe it was yesterday, I think I said it yesterday, we were texting, and I said, look, Trump is obviously the better candidate or the less bad candidate on a simplistic level. But we don't really know what would be better for the country. And I think this is what Robert Wenzel, who I consider my economics teacher, he was the late proprietor of Economic Policy Journal and TargetLiberty.com, those two blogs. And he said he preferred Hillary to Trump because people hate Hillary a lot more with a lot more passion, and it would create a lot of more anti-government sentiment that maybe there'd be a break and like an American Revolution 2.0. He's not the one to root for revolution or like in a communist sense, and he understands that it's dangerous. And I understand that revolutions are very dangerous. I get it. But what I think we're at the point in America where going in the direction that you're going is could be as dangerous or as risky as a straight up revolution would be at this point. I'm not sure. So Kamala, if she's elected, would be so hated that states would maybe just secede on their own and we'd see what the federal government would do. Whereas Trump would unite whatever faith there is left in the government. And that could be bad because Trump can take you in the wrong direction. For example, certain things in your arm or lockdowns.
It works incredibly well, 95%, maybe even more than that. It works incredibly well. And I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it.
Or Fauci, he could, pray
Yeah.
in front of people. A lot of bad things can happen. So, voting, don't take voting so seriously. It doesn't really matter. It's not, we don't, it's really up to God who leads countries. It's not up to man. Voting is just an exercise in futility, I'm convinced. Even here in Israel, there was a guy I liked, Moshe Feiglin. I still like him. And I'll vote for him. Not that I think it'll do anything, but I don't think that when you die and you're facing God and he says, Phil, why didn't you vote for Trump in 2024? You're going to, I don't think that's going to be one of the questions, okay? I don't think it matters.
Yeah. Well, it's what did George Carlin say? It's like if voting mattered, they wouldn't let you do
Yeah,
it.
sure. I wish he was, I'd love him to be president. Wow. He'd be great.
So this ties into the broader question of why does inflation cause political unrest? And what we're seeing, like even right now, I mean, I know you signed off on Friday night and like UK descended into some sort of conflagration. I mean, there are UK ultra-nationalists chasing, hunting down foreigners on the streets, and there's, the Muslims are doing their circle thing where they slap their chests and wave knives around, and these are on, major public streets in London, and it looks like they're heading for a smash up. I don't live there, so I don't know the details, but based on what Twitter videos are showing, now Twitter does tend to show the more sensationalist things, but it looks like things are heading towards a smash up in the UK. And my thinking is neither side, and in America too, right? We're blaming foreigners and we're blaming, whoever, even blaming politicians, but no one's ever like, I mean, there's a few people like, it's the Federal Reserve, guys. Like that's the Eccles Building is the direction you want to head into with your pitchforks and burning torches. But they never do it. And it just I have to think like the bankers are just sitting in the Eccles Building, like, yes, because they're all fight everyone's fighting outside in the street and no one thinks to go to the money.
I don't even think they're doing that. I don't think they're like, Mr. Burns and going like this. I don't
Yeah.
think they understand what they're doing. I don't know who's in charge. I don't think there's any intelligent design behind this. And I'm in touch with a lot of people who do think it, but you can always construct these stories if you want to, and
That's true.
you'll follow them to wherever your brain wants it to go. I don't know what's going on. It's just
So
all.
why can we not, why can mankind as a hive entity not point itself towards the money? Why is inflation disguising that so that we're killing each other in the streets We're fighting in the grocery store over the last roll of toilet paper, you know, fight to the death over the last roll of toilet paper. And no one thinks, hey, maybe we should, you know, start trading in silver. Where does this come from? Where is this block?
I don't know. Do you have an idea? I'll give you my idea, but I want to hear yours first.
The only idea I have is that it's not the wisdom of crowds. Like, the wisdom of crowds is failing at this point. Like, we're not able, as a crowd, we are not able to correctly course correct. So, and I don't like that answer because it tends to mean that we need a hard autocratic ruler, right? If man cannot govern itself, then we need a hard autocratic ruler to lead us in the right direction. Now we need a philosopher king at that point, because if you have a tyrant, then it ends up being even more suboptimal. But what I want to see is, you know, people on Twitter saying it's the Federal Reserve guys, you know, in the hive mind collecting, and then, you know, everyone sort of figuring out, the light bulb going off and us going back to sound money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't have an answer for why that's not happening, except that, in, you know, for whatever reason, inflation is distorting the signal that that's why it should be happening.
So
that's not a correct sentence, but you know what I mean.
why can't they figure it out? Well, if they could, everyone would be a leader and you wouldn't need government. Really, yeah. What you have in humans, and I think this comes from our evolution from apes, like there's an alpha and there are followers, and that's how ape society is structured, and that's how we're structured. And yeah, we have Tselem Elokim, we have the image of God in us. Which means, like, for a brief moment, we can separate from physical reality and take a bird's eye view of the world and of society and try to see from above it as to what's really going on. But then we quickly get, like, sucked down back into, you know, working the land and sweating our brow and doing what we have to do to survive. So, I mean, not many people can zoom out and look at what's happening from above with intellectual candor. Even we're not completely intellectually honest with ourselves. We can't be. We can only be to a certain degree, and we're going to get a lot of things wrong, and we're going to be biased on our own ways of looking at things. And, you know, people are going to find different people and then hopefully synthesize. But yeah, like, you know, I was talking about this with my wife. There's during the whole COVID fiasco, whatever the hell that was, there were people that saw what was going on, and there were people that just followed along. And now when people ask my wife, like, why doesn't she work at the university anymore? And she says, well, she was fired. And they say, why? I was like, well, because I didn't have a vaccine pass. And they're like, what? What was that? What are you talking about? They don't even remember that it happened. Okay. It's not even in, they're like, oh yeah, something like that. Like, they don't even remember it. So there are the people that, you know, suffered at that, from that, and that, like, we remember it, and then there are the sheep that were sheep back then and they are sheep now, and you can't, and they will follow whatever flow is happening, right? So it's our job as the non-sheep, as the non-NPCs, to plug up with other non-NPCs who can see a little bit outside from a bird's eye view and say it's the Fed. And then when there's enough of us, and whether it results in us waving pitchforks at the Fed and taking over the building, which I don't think it's going to happen, or it results in us saying, look, forget about the Fed, just keep stacking, make sure you're stacking, make sure he's stacking, make sure all the good, what we talk about all the time, like, we can overthrow them that way and make sure that we have the power. But, like, it's, we're not going to vote a benevolent dictator in, and we're not going to vote a philosopher king in. All we can do is the best we can do with our families and local communities, and lead as much as we can. And hopefully we'll have the wherewithal, the economic wherewithal and the intellectual wherewithal and everything that we need to turn the sheep around so that they completely forget about fiat currency, just like they completely forgot about COVID lockdowns, and they completely forget about the MAGA, the anti-MAGA people, the Trump derangement people. They're just another group of sheep. And they're like, oh, if Trump's elected, he's going to end democracy and he's not going to let any other president. Well, what happened in 2016? Did he allow another election? Yeah, he did, even though you could arguably say it was stolen. I don't know if it was. But even if it was, he stepped down. So why do you think he's going to do it? But you say that and they're like, oh, they don't even respond to you. So none of these people think, the MAGA people, the Trump derangement people, it's just up to us to turn them, like the sheep they are, into the right direction, and then use them for good instead of evil. I mean, I just don't see any other way. You can't wake them up.
Even the intellectuals ostensibly on our side are not, we're not all going in the same direction. Like Peter St. Ange and I went to the same university at the same time. We had the same professors. I don't remember him, but I think he's my age. Like, I think we were classmates. I've heard him talk about the professors. He had Russ Roberts, say we had the same classes. And he's pumping Bitcoin and, make sure you go vote. Make sure you go vote for Trump. So he's like, he's not leading in the same direction we are. And I'm wondering, obviously, I mean, I think the inflation is, I guess the simple thing I'm thinking is like, inflation is pumping up Bitcoin. People are chasing Bitcoin thinking it's an alternative money. So the people who have not thought about it, and look, I'm one of them. I was a Bitcoin bull. I mean, I was until Rafi pointed out the Misesian regression principle, which is not a convincing argument to a normie. It's just not, Misesian regression principle, and the normies, throw the Bitcoin and run for the hills. No, that's not going to happen.
It's a very Austrian school point because forget about everything all the intricacies of Bitcoin, how amazing blockchain is, fine, whatever. But like you go back to the foundation, it just doesn't make sense. And that's that. But the people that think and they're like, okay, well, we do have to progress from first principles and then build up. But then the other people are like, well, what if we're thinking about it wrong? What if there's a step wrong in the logic and we just can't see it? And you have this whole thing Bitcoin and it's here at the right time. So like, why am I going to be distracted with petty logic, which might have something wrong in the system that I can't see? Because am I going to trust my mind that deeply? No, I'm going to trust this blockchain thing that's like so magnificent that makes more sense. And then we're like, no, the logic's right. And then like, okay, fine, but I'll deal with that later. Yeah, you'll deal with it when it crashes, and you'll hopefully come back and join us.
So I guess we got a little bit off the main topic, which is why are political assassinations affiliated with inflation? Because like, if you look at Weimar, I mean, all the guys from World War I, Rathenau, and the names are escaping me, but the ministers all, and the question is like, why does the vehicle of, one of the things that elections do is they act as a pressure gasket, right? You hate the guy, you hate Kamala Harris, you go to there, you vote her out of office or whoever, doesn't have to be Kamala, but you don't like your guy, you don't like your congressman, you organize, you go and you vote him out of office, he gets thrown out. And even if the new guy is, almost just as bad, the pressure valve is gone.
Right.
But it seems like during inflation, that boil just reached the points where people just take to the streets. And part of it, I think, is the poverty, right? Because you're like, why am I so goddamn poor, right? And it just makes you angry. It's this generalized anger where the things aren't working the way they're supposed to, the way you can see they're supposed to be working, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess my question is it's a fringe minority of the people who actually take a gun and go shoot somebody, but why does that increase when it could, like the answer is right in front of you, just stack, right? But people feel the need to go put a bullet in a politician. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll defer to you again. What do you think?
Well, maybe it's again the madness of crowds, or just the inability. It's the inability to see the reality of the world through the mechanism of inflation, right? Inflation disguises everything, and you don't even know why the things are happening the way they're happening. Like you don't know why your teenage daughter is on OnlyFans, selling herself. You don't know why.
So it must be horrible.
Yeah,
happened to a lot of people. Oh gosh.
Must happen to some. You can't. You're like, didn't I raise you? What is going on?
In many instances, I would say they didn't raise them. They let the phones raise them. But yeah,
it must have been and you don't know why. Your degree is not producing the wealth that was promised to produce, right? You don't know why these things are happening. So you're just left with this generalized anxiety and generalized anger.
Look, if you understand what's happening, first of all, and second of all, you can help one person. There's a Jewish saying: save one person, save the world. And that's both literally true and emotionally true. Because if you do save one person, then who knows what kids that person's going to have? Who knows what line it's going to have? Who knows what kind of influence? You never know the influence, the positive influence that you're going to have. that one person can make, even an insignificant person. You never know the negative influence that one person can have either. It's all butterfly effect stuff, you know. The flapping of the butterfly's wings can change anything in any direction in the entire planet. It's chaos theory. It's basically the Jewish equivalent of chaos theory. So why
tend your own garden and let it deal with your neighbors and try and help.
I heard this from a Chabad rabbi towards the peak of the COVID insanity, when I was really starting to lose it and get depressed, and I was like, what is this ever going to end? How do I deal with this? And he said to me, like, the first commandment is I am the Lord your God, you know, and meaning ergo, you're not, like, I made the world and your job isn't to save the world. And it's my job to run the worldly business. And it's your job to tend to what your responsibility is and let the big things up to me. So I had to go into that mentality or I was going to lose it. Cause like, I'm thinking like, okay, the world is committing suicide. How do I save it? Because I know what's going on. But like, I can't, it's not my job. So when you get to like these big world changing things, like assassination attempts, it's just take it as a signal that, okay, we're going in the direction of collapse. And, if the plane is already going down, you've got to get the, you know, your tray table up in the, your tray table in the full upright position.
And my tray table up, and my seat back in the full upright position.
And your seat fully forward or horrible things are going to happen, as Weird Al says.
Yeah, turn your phone on airplane mode or the whole thing goes down.
Yeah, but so why specifically with inflation? Well, if you take if inflation is the breakdown of trade, which is what it is, because you're trading with each other, meanwhile, while the people on top are picking everybody's pocket simultaneously, you'll start to realize that the trade isn't really working. So if you have a more extreme example where there is no trade because, like, there, let's say all the most liquid commodities are just whisked off by aliens and nobody can trade anymore, then you'll have a complete breakdown of society where everybody's killing everybody. So when you have what looks like a breakdown in society, but it's not a complete breakdown in society, which is what we're in now, where it's breaking down, we can see it, but there's still these vestiges of order that are still there. So I guess you could use the marginal utility argument, right? The marginal utility of each unit is what sets the price. So there is a marginal utility, there are the marginally insane people. And once you get to a certain amount of despair, then the people that are marginally insane, but they're marginally sane, they tip over into insanity. On the fringe, they're the ones that go out and start shooting politicians.
Marginal market for assassinations.
Right. So in a world where trade has completely broken down, then everyone's going to act like that insane person. Even you and me, we're going to shoot and kill to protect our family and to, like, you know, kill whatever we can find and hide it. And but that's what happens. That's what happens to people in genocides and in the Holocaust, and they act like animals. It's what happens to, like, pigs in a pen when they don't have any food. They go after each other. So they all act insane. So we're at the point now where I think the marginally sane people are tipping into insanity, whereas in a world where they're fed and they can basically function, they don't see the need to kill people. They're the first ones to turn to this when things get to the condition that they're in now.
I'm the bad guy?
Yeah.
How'd that happen? I did everything they told me to.
Wow. That's heavy, Rafi.
Okay.
I think
it's another Austrian school.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Of political assassinations on the marginal utility bait.
Marginal utility of political assassinations. I mean, just, it's scary. Like, as I see us tipping into the chaos, you're like, the marginal utility or the marginal assassinations are gonna.
I can't. No, it's marginal. The marginally insane.
Yeah, the marginally.
The marginally sane. Somewhere on the border there.
Yeah. The number of people tipping at the margin into insanity is gonna be. It's gonna be a much bigger number. But that's our job, is to get silver out into the world so that we get people back into the marginal sane. So that's all we can do. That is all we can do. It is staring into the abyss, as hard as it is. And it, you know, I've done it, you've done it. Everyone looking into the everyone watching our channel is probably going through the same emotions we are. It's all you can do is try to keep your local area as sane as possible.
Yeah.
Both before, during, and after. So this ties into the second topic, which is all the political terminology, or the MAGA terminology is actually patriot, PAY, patriot. Like, it's people who pretend to be patriots, but they're just grifting off the system, and they're like, I'm gonna send me $500 and I'm gonna expose the whole world to the voting machines, that these don't work, and they lead everyone on a merry goose chase, and nothing ever happens and nothing ever gets done. And we are experiencing that in this gold and silver world. And they're basically your competitors. I mean, I'm not really doing this professionally. I just asked for like a $5 donation, so it's not really a profession for me. But if I was doing this professionally, I would be facing these people as competitors, and they're saying, our gold-backed cryptocurrency offers yields on everything about it. So don't put your money with Rafi. What are you doing putting your money with Rafi? He's just gonna, send you some stuff to put shiny rocks on your desk. Put your money with us, put your wealth with us, and we'll get you yields on it, on your deposits.
I don't really manage anybody's wealth. I don't ask for anybody's money, but I do refer them to people that I trust, such
Yes.
as insert ad here, and I'll do that later. This conversation between Rafi and Phil is brought to you by Miles Franklin Precious Metals Investments, where today's weekly specials are a 1 ounce gold American Buffalo, only $99 over spot. On what spot? Like 24, 30, 24, 50. So what's the percentage on that? It's very low. You should check that out. Or 1 ounce silver Australian Philharmonics, only $3.10 over spot. 1 ounce silver American Eagles. I'm not sure why people prefer this coin, because it is much more expensive than other bullion coins. These are $5.50 over spot. Still pretty good for American Eagles if that's what you want. My preference here would be junk silver, silver junk half dollars, for $2.50 over spot. That's less than half that you can get a 1 ounce silver American Eagle. And they are legal tender coins. This was my first silver purchase that I ever made back in 2012. Silver junk half dollars, and that's what I personally recommend. That, or the 1 ounce gold American Buffalo, looks like a really good price to me. You can then take that gold and you can hand it over to Monetary Metals and earn interest between 2.5% and 5% on your gold and silver. Usually leases to jewelry companies, very low risk. It is not fractional reserve because these are time deposits. So if you want to earn gold and silver ounces on your gold and silver ounces, send it to Keith. Go to monetary-metals/Rafi, link in the description below. And storage of gold and silver with Monetary Metals is also free if you prefer not to lease your gold out. And if you want to keep your gold and silver with yourself, which is also a very good option, and I think essential, at least for some silver in the end game for purposes of barter, which is really money, but we call it barter, go to this landing page at dirtymansafe.com. Link in the description below, and you will be able to store up to $1 million in gold bullion. I do not recommend doing that. Store some silver in there, bury it somewhere on your property, and you'll have it in the end game. Just don't tell anybody about it. Use the code ENDGAME10 at checkout for 10% off your Dirty Man safe. And there was a question that came in: is there also a Dirty Girl safe? Yes, there is. It's just smaller than the Dirty Man. They have the Dirty Old Man, the Dirty Man, and the Dirty Girl. I think the Dirty Girl is the smallest, and the Dirty Man is the middle one, and the Dirty Old Man is the biggest one. Pick whichever one you want, depending on how much you want to put in there. And now let's get back to the conversation between Rafi and Phil.
There you go. So I guess the question is, how do we combat, because the yield offering yields is so attractive. In fact, when I was first starting to figure all this out, and I was listening to you and I was listening to many other people, and I was talking to some of my friends about this too, and I was saying, hey, I think gold might be a really good place to go about this. And people were like, I had at least two people tell me, but you don't get any yields on it. You get no, that's just dead. It's a valuable thing, but it's just dead. It's a dead paperweight, right? All this other stuff is, you can log in every day and you can see the number go up. So how can honest brokers combat the dishonest people in this sector offering yields on the precious metals, which are, I mean, it's, unless it's in a time deposit, it's probably, I mean, almost certainly a fake in some way.
How do we combat them? We
Yeah.
just, it's the same answer. We just promote the people that we think are honest, which is why I teamed up with Keith from Monetary Metals instead of other companies, because I've looked at the business models, and this one makes the most sense to me. And also just Keith personally, he's a very abrasive personality to some people, not to me. I like him, but
I do. Never met him, but I like what he is.
he's controversial in the sense that a lot of people don't like him, which means to me that he's willing to say what he thinks is true, no matter how many people it pisses off, which is what I like about him and why I trust him. Anyway, how do we compete with them?
Or I should say, let's abstract it a little bit more. Why does inflation? I guess in, I mean if the I guess the answer is obvious, right? It disguises the dishonest brokers from the honest brokers, because the dishonest brokers are able to offer gold that they don't actually have. And so when you're able to offer gold you don't actually have, you're able to offer higher returns on that gold until the thing breaks, and then you disappear into the night. It's just like the old the railroad guys would come into town. They come to small town, some small town in Iowa, and say, "We want to build a railroad here. Let's get, we need the town to raise some money." And then, the town pools their life savings, and then the guy disappears the next day.
If you want yield, you're going to have to lend something out. And if you don't lend it out, you're just profiting from inflation of the system, whether it's inflation of the dollar system or inflation of the gold-backed blockchain system or whatever inflation is. It's all the same principle.
Is there a Is there an advice you could give to a normie, like not you and me? Because I, my last video, I did a deep dive on a company, and I came to the conclusion I could not support them. Is there an advice you can give to a normie who's like, where do I, if someone emails you and says, I want to move, $200,000 of my life savings into something. What do I do? Is there, or maybe they're asking something more generalized, like who, how can I tell if somebody's lying or not?
If you're talking normie, you're talking usually NPC, so they won't be able to tell. Well, I won't. If you're talking to a normie and then you're trying to get him to activate his mind as to who's lying or not, I would say it's a lost cause. Not that I'm saying these people have no ability to think. They can wake up. Anyone can wake up. I'm not saying that these people are they're hopeless. I'm just saying I've tried to talk to people and I just don't find it productive. So I don't try to convince people of anything. I just try to gather people who already agree with me but never knew that they did. That's all.
So what I would say to anyone, I mean, anyone watching our show is obviously highly educated and already very familiar with what we're talking about. But if you are new, what I would say the quick and dirty way is to, if you are getting a yield on a demand deposit, and by a demand deposit, I mean you can show up at any time and redeem your metal. So if you are allowed to show up unannounced with your tickets, either physically or virtually, and say, "Hey, I'm redeeming, mail them to me, or I'm here, give it to me right now," and if you can do that, and then they are offering a yield on that, then they are almost certainly lying, and they might be able to redeem at that moment. So you say, "Oh, well, they can't lie. They're not lying here. They just gave it to me, so I'll just give it right back to them and put it back in the vault." But they are lying to the when the shit hits the fan, there is not enough gold for everybody who's going to come and redeem it. That's the point.
So I had an idea in my okay. So I would say this. I would show them a chart. You're saying that the dollar yields, the dollar can yield. Well, first of all, a stack of dollar bills under your mattress doesn't yield anything.
That's
Just like
true.
it's not the dollar that makes the yield, it's the lending the dollars that makes the yield. And the lending of dollars is the fractional reserve that the whole system is based on. The lending, it's the risk that you're taking that creates the yield. And second of all, if you look at a chart of gold from 1971, when the gold window was closed, until now, and you compare it to stocks which have a yield, you compare it to the S&P 500, gold is outperforming. So what does that mean when something without a yield is outperforming stocks, which not only have a yield, but they have capital gains? And yes, many stocks have outperformed gold. I know, I'm not disputing that. And if you can time the inflationary system well enough, you can do a lot better. But we're too far along in the inflationary system to squeeze anything more out of it right now. You're not going to be able to outperform it now. Maybe you could in from 1971 to now, you probably could, but now you can't. So forget that. And look at all the stocks and the bonds versus gold. And gold is still beating the big indices, and how is that even possible if other than the yield that you were getting from dollars is entirely fake? Because if you just take gold and you get a dirty man safe, you bury it somewhere on your property, and you just hold it there, you're getting the yield of the natural effect of goods and services always falling in terms of gold in the long term. That is the natural yield. If you want to take some risk, extra risk, and lend it out, you might be able to get a few extra percent. Sure, and probably in a very safe way. But the thing is, when you hold dollars, you have to have a yield because you're fighting the inflationary wave that's bringing the value down, which doesn't happen with gold. So which one do you want to do?
I guess it just takes a minimum of discipline and logic to get through that initial phase of like number not go up via
Yeah, and you
yield.
don't have to
And the
take
number
all
go
of
up.
your
I
you don't have
mean,
to take all your wealth and put it into gold. No, we're not saying that. We're never saying that. But if you're a normie and you kind of understand what we're saying, but you're nervous because you don't want to get out of the system, take like 5%, 10% of your net wealth and get some gold and silver. That's all.
there you go. Now we can move on to the final topic, which is the miners. So when I first started talking to you, and I subscribed to the Endgame Investor, link in the description. The one of the things you offer is a mining portfolio, and I was very intrigued by it. And I've always torn between the greed and the fear. Like all financial motivators, it's greed and fear that are the two big ones. And the greed is really overwhelming when you start thinking about miners. So if you imagine gold doing something like a 50x in terms of real purchasing power. So if you like a few ounces of gold buying a house would be a game, right? You're talking about a 50xer of gold. And then you're talking about, silver going down to a 15 to 1 silver gold ratio. So you're talking about silver doing what, 100x? I don't know. Some even a bigger multiple than gold. So then you start looking at the miners, and the miners historically in the Great Depression and the 1979 panic, the miners, some miners, you if you get the right miner and you get, the they, they have the right, growth pattern, they can do a 50x too. So now you're talking about instead of putting $10,000, if you put $10,000 into gold, you basically turn that into a house in the endgame. If you put $10,000 into a gold mining stock, if it's the correct one, you're talking about buying 50 houses in the end game with the stock, turning the stocks into whatever the new currency is, and then ending up buying, turning them to other assets, buying 50. Yeah. So the mind just boggles at how much wealth can be, if correctly done, can be generated in this move. It's just it's I constantly sit back and say, oh, maybe I should get a taste of the action here. But the fear of this keeps me out. And the fear is, A, government's nationalizing the mine. Now that, depends on, like you say, a lot of the mines you support are in Africa, and they just have a very low level of corruption where the government bureaucrat shows up and says, hey, come on, give me my taste
They have
in
a
the
very
mines.
pervasive level of petty corruption.
Very pervasive level of petty corruption. They know how the game is played, right? The minister shows up and I want my money, and they give him his taste, and then he walks away and they go on merrily mining the silver. But
Minding their own business, you could say.
mining their but you could end up, especially in game, people like Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela, let's say we have that kind of mentality here, or up in Canada where there's a lot of mines, or Mexico, there's a lot of mines, wherever. They start saying, well, for the good of the people, we need to start minting coins again. So we're going to nationalize these mines and turn them into direct coin producers. And so we're going to, who the stock owners, you get nothing. Then the other risk is the broker, and I think you just discussed this on commodity culture. So the brokers, most almost all normies, when you go through something like Robinhood, you don't actually own that stock is not in your name. They loan it out almost immediately. It's disgusting. It's disgusting that they let this happen. That this is allowed to happen, but it is. They loan it out almost immediately. So you buy a stock, they basically just say we owe you this stock. And you can see the number go up, but in a crash, there's a very, very, very good chance that whoever they loan that stock out to is just going to keep it.
So
And
in other words, even your brokerage account is fractional reserve brokerage.
it's a fractional account. I'm saying they didn't loan the stock out. They used your stock as collateral for their own loans against somebody else. And that person that they used is the person they staked your stocks as collateral to is the current owner of the stocks.
Great. You're
They're
in the
not.
basement of a mansion of fractional reserve levels.
So when it blows, what's going to happen? And people think, "Oh, I'll just sue my broker." No, the broker's going to go out of business. So, Robinhood is going to say, "Oh, you're going to email one day. I'm sorry, we lost everything." And then you're going to email back and say, "What do you mean you lost everything?" And then you're going to get error 404, business shutdown, doesn't exist, and you have no idea who has your stock. I mean, it's going to be poof. So the solutions, Bill Holter has a solution that I like, which is it's a pain in the ass. I mean, it's a real pain in the ass, which is to get the physical paper of the stocks. And you have to look up his videos on how to do it. I think you have to like get you have to get go through not just a broker, but there's like another agent that can turn, he can get the stock from the broker, and then he can turn it into paper and send you the paper.
Somebody just got to make a service out of this, where it's like, the sort of services that cancel your unused subscriptions to whatever service on your credit card, and they find it and they cancel it for you. So I'm seeing services like there could, I think this could be like a real business model where you figure out how to get stocks or certificates for stocks for people who have, and their brokerage is just doing it, and they pay you a cut to just do that labor, and that might actually work. Maybe we should look into that and start a
Market
business.
always clears. Yeah, there's always a service to get through a hurdle. I love it. So yeah, maybe. I don't know if I want to put in the that's it's it just sounds like such a tedious pain in the butt though. But that's where the money is there. And the other solution I was thinking is something like, and this is not a recommendation and I'm not affiliated with them in any way, is Peter Schiff's like Europac Gold Fund. Because I think they probably own those shares. I'm guessing they're sophisticated
That's
enough. I don't
probably a
think
good
Adrian
idea.
Day is using like Robinhood.
But the thing is, but if you want to invest in Peter Schiff's gold fund, you do it through Robinhood, then Robinhood's going to loan out your share of Peter Schiff's
Oh,
gold
Peter
fund to
Schiff's gold
somebody
fund.
else. So how do you do it? You have to do it with Peter Schiff
Yeah,
directly.
you'd have to. I think you can call Europac. I think you can call and invest directly with them.
I think you could do that. I think that would be the easiest way to do it. Pick somebody you trust in the gold and silver space and call up the company and just buy their fund directly.
Do they? Can you do that? Can you call Fortuna Silver Mining, for example, and have them mail you shares directly?
I don't think so. I think maybe if there's enough of them, I'd have to ask Chris Marcus about that. He would know. I mean, I guess it's possible. If you call them up and ask them, they'll give you all the options. But I'm sure there are ways to do it that are more direct than Interactive Brokers or Robinhood or whatever.
So that would be my recommendation to anyone watching. I feel the greed. Like I truly, deeply in my soul feel the greed. And I, I think about it all the time. I'm not participating in it just because the fear is overwhelming it. If I can get to a level that I'm comfortable with, either through some of the solutions we've talked about, I would definitely consider getting in because you are talking, I mean, you're talking about a small amount of money turning into life-changing wealth, or a small amount of investment turning into life-changing wealth. So, ponder what I have said and see if the viewers can come up with their own ideas. But I would not buy through Robinhood and just, sit back on your phone watching your gold mining stocks go up, because I don't think it's going to be there for you.
I thought you were going to talk about the risk of the great taking, which I think is a risk.
Well, that is the great taking. That is a great taking.
So that could be it. Look, I'm not going to argue with you. It is a risk to own mining shares through a brokerage. So the next best thing to do would be to own mining shares through a fund through a fund like Peter Schiff's, where you know the people directly and they're trying to be as honest as they can. Or call up a company directly, see if you can get shares from them. I don't even know if that's possible. But I don't have all my money in mining stocks, and I never intended to do that. And I'm not buying any more. I'm stacking now because I do feel that fear, but I'm not selling all the mining stocks that I bought through the years. I don't
Do you keep
have
them through a
anything to chase.
brokerage?
What?
Do you keep them through a brokerage?
Yeah, I keep them through IBKR. I have paper certificates that they sent to me. I'm not sure how much that's going to help me if they go
Yeah, I don't
bankrupt
know either.
or at all. But even if it gets all wiped out, I have enough real money that I'll be okay. And hopefully at some point I'll be able to recoup whatever losses come from the brokerage if they do come. I don't think it's assured. I think it's more likely in something like Robinhood than it is in IBKR, which I think is more established and more legitimate than Robinhood, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, so just it's just I would just say user beware. Like just know what the risks are if you're going to get into the miners. And there's a lot of other channels that go deep into how to think about investing in the miners. And
Yeah.
I'm not one of those channels, certainly. So
The way I think about it, I think is a little bit different from you. It's not that I don't have greed. I'm a greedy person just like anybody else, but I don't buy them looking for like 100x gains versus 50x gains. I don't really care how much money I have at the end of this. I just don't have a Yetzer hara for it, or an evil inclination for money that much other than my family's needs. Like I have like an inclination to make sure my family's okay and my kids get what they want and what they need. Other than that, I don't really care. But how I think of mining stocks, why I'm primarily in them, is because in the end game, if all I have is gold and silver but no income, I'd rather have a company that can pay me real dividends when I know other stocks won't be able to pay me dividends because the dollars won't work. So mining shares could theoretically pay me in certificates of product and then pay me when the lights come back on later. That's just how I think of it.
All right.